The Glass Lady Project with your host, Becky Mitchell. This program features artists and individuals from our community who have stories and history to share.
This is Becky Mitchell, and today we're going to be talking about the genealogy resources we have in our region. I have three guests in studio with me today, and I'm going to go ahead and let you all introduce yourselves.
I'm Danelle Haspel, and I work for the Lake Agassiz Regional Library System in the Detroit Lakes branch.
And I'm Leah Labby, and I represent the Detroit Lakes Family History Center that is sponsored by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
And I'm Virginia Weston, and today I'll be representing both the Becker County Museum and the Heart of Lakes Genealogical Society, whose library is also in the museum.
So thank you, ladies, so much for joining me. I think what is fascinating to me is, number one, how much interest in genealogy there is in our region, but also for a community the size of Detroit Lakes, all of the resources out there for genealogy. I believe that all of your entities work together. Danelle, I'll let you answer this. Is this correct? Do you specialize in certain topics, each of you, or is there some crossover?
Well, there is definitely some crossover. We get a lot of requests for obituaries, and we don't have those available at the library, so I usually end up fielding that to Virginia.
Okay. Yeah. And Virginia, other than obituaries, what sorts of research do you find yourself doing?
Well, it depends on which entity I'm working for. As a member of Heart of Lakes Genealogical Society and part of a research team from that organization for the Becker County Museum, two of us come in and do research for the museum, which gets requests for not just genealogical, but also historical type of research. Currently, we're looking for some information on how the Seven Sisters Lakes were named. Heart of Lakes usually gets mostly genealogical requests, but they cover more than just Becker County. They also cover Otter Tail County and elsewhere.
Okay.
Well, I think we help each other because Danelle gives classes on basic genealogy, and she also gives them the flyer that helps them come to the Family History Center. And there we have Virginia and Connie Thompson, who can help them to find the local resources that they need. And we also have available microfilms for them to look at. And a lot of our people that come to the Family History Center spend a lot of time looking at microfilms.
So with the Family History Center, is that usually tend to be something that's more of a, there's an individual coming in to do research?
Yes, there is. Yes.
Okay. What's the biggest puzzle you've been able to solve through the years? Is there something that really stands out where it's like, yes, we finally figured it out? I know that from a recent informative meeting that I was with you guys at, that oftentimes the spellings of names are not what we think they are. But has there been something that's kind of stood out over the years, either from a personal research or something you've helped somebody with?
Well, one of my big things was I was searching for a grandfather whose name was Felix, spelled with an F, and I found his family, but I kind of ignored it because he wasn't on there. But then when I look back at it a few years later, I noticed his name was spelled with a PH. And it just kind of threw me, but it was so exciting to me to be able to use that research from that census, because all I had to do was figure PH was an F, so that was kind of exciting for me.
A big one for me was I was looking for my husband's grandfather, who I knew came to America in 1865, and I was looking through all of the immigration things in Ancestry, and I found the same last name, but it was down as a female, and it was spelled totally wrong. His name was Anton, A-N-T-O-N, and I found one that was A-U-S-T-O-N. It was just totally different, and when I went in and looked at the original record, it looked like they used hash marks and made everybody on that page a female, and of course he was a male. And then his name, it was just the handwriting. They had stretched it out so far that they didn't realize it was an N. And so I finally found him after a few years of looking.
My sister and I found our Sam Houston, who had left his wife after the Civil War and moved south. She had been asking for money every time she sent a letter to him. And it wasn't discovered until well after the Civil War that it was her brother that was stealing the money. And the surname Houston can be spelled both H-O-U-S-T-O-N and H-U-S-T-O-N, and both have been used by my family. We did finally find him because we'd been looking in Illinois, and he wasn't in Illinois when he served in the Civil War. He was from Indiana. So when we finally looked in the right state, we did find the information on the census, and from that we found an obituary, which led us to where he had moved to in the South. He moved to New Orleans, Louisiana, remarried, and we found his marriage certificate to his second wife that gave his parents' names.
Hmm. So that kind of, as a somewhat of a newbie to all of this genealogy talk, if you will, when you're doing genealogy research, how often is it that you just find a lot of dates? Like, they were born here, they came to America here, they died, they got married. You know, those are public record, probably a little more searchable. How often do you find maybe the stories behind the person? So he lived there. Do you learn much about their life, or is it hit or miss?
It's kind of hit or miss.
Yeah. I think the newspapers are a wonderful resource to actually put the meat on the bones, mm-hmm. so to speak, because you do find the dates of their major events in their life. But if you go to the newspapers and you start looking in the newspapers, that's when you actually get to know the person and the things that happened in their life. And that's one of the things I do at the library. People come in, I'll do interlibrary loan for the microfilm of the old newspapers so that people can bring them here to the Historical Society and actually look at the microfilm.
Or out to the LDS.
I also found that when I looked for events that happened in that town or what was going on at that time, like one of my grandparents lived right below St. Louis, and it was during the time of the major fair they had there. So that was kind of interesting because I could imagine them going to the fair and being all excited about being there.
Sure. I know I have, at some point, I'm going to engage in myself trying to figure out a little bit more of my family history because, of course, just being in this environment and hearing about it day in and day out starts to pique some curiosity. But one of the things that's been interesting to me, you know, I think you hear a lot about people coming through Ellis Island, but also that obviously is not the only point that people immigrated to America from. So how, from this area, if you didn't find somebody in Ellis Island, what other key points would you be looking that they may have come in?
A lot of my relatives came down from Canada.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was another place in New Jersey, wasn't it? What was it called? Garden?
Castle Garden was also in New York
before Ellis Island. Yeah.
Okay. So. And then, of course, in the region we are in, we have a lot of Native American culture as well. How easy is it to find those records? Is it more difficult? Everybody's nodding.
Yes, it's more difficult.
Well, it has to be more difficult because records weren't kept on that. I mean,
the Hinton rolls are here at the museum.
Yes.
But yeah, it's
something. I mean, if you lived out on the plains and spent your life out there, who's going to have written it down unless it's through memory or whatever?
Oral tradition.
Yeah, exactly.
Plus, the name changes from their native name to an American name are completely 100% totally different than the difference in spelling of a name.
Absolutely. So what would you recommend if somebody's just starting out? I was just thinking about my own family. You have your mom and then both of those parents, and then your dad and both of those parents. What avenue do you recommend starting?
Yep, you start with yourself and work backwards, generation after generation, so that you make sure you're doing your family history.
There's also the fact that you're supposed to follow just one line at a time. Just pick a line and go with that one. But you often find that they overlap, so you'll wind up searching more than one line at a time.
The other thing is to keep a good record of what you've looked at and what you need to look at.
And
keep
where, research you, found
where
it.
You found the source.
That is so important.
You want the source.
There's lots of websites. Is there some that are better than others, or do you find yourself recommending all of them, some of them, lots of them?
Well, I'm going to recommend coming into the library. So you don't have to purchase Ancestry.com because it's free to come into the library and use Ancestry Library Edition.
Okay, so you can sit at the computers there and use it.
And Family Search, the search engine for the Church of Jesus Christ, is, I mean, they're digitizing records all the time from their vault. They've always been really good about having things available, and it's all free to people at familysearch.org.
Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit more about that. When you talk about the Church of Jesus Christ, what does that mean?
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or the Mormons, if you want to call them that, they've always been big on family and even your ancestors, not just your family, but your ancestors. And so they've spent lots of time going out and finding records and microfilming them. because that was the technology then. Well, now they can digitize those films and index them and make it available for people online at no charge. And we have a big indexing program that people can get involved in also to help index these records so that people have a easier time finding what they're looking for.
Okay. And if I'm sitting listening to this going, well, I'm not Mormon, does that matter? It does any matter. Religion?
FamilySearch.org okay. is free to anybody that wants to get on it. It's anybody.
Okay.
Anywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And coming to the Family History Center, anybody can come there and ask for help.
Okay.
We even have a link to their site from the library's website.
And I know in the age of digitization at the museum here, we're talking about lots of plans, I guess, to try to figure out how to get more of these records online as well and more easily accessible to residents of our county.
Right.
So, how have you seen genealogy change in the way you use it since you started out?
Oh, my.
Who wants to tackle that question?
As far as when I started, which was 1992, I was writing lots of letters to different county courthouses to get information.
I was, too, back in the late 60s, early 70s. Mm-hmm. So
I started in probably 1976, and I looked at a lot of microfilms and wrote letters and talk to people, and it was real important to get to your older relatives right away so, you know, they didn't die and take all that information with them. It's definitely become major easier these days.
Oh, yeah.
It really has.
The highlight, I think, of my whole time doing genealogy, though, was going out to Salt Lake City to the to the big
library
out there. Yeah. Oh, that was awesome. Yeah.
Have any of you traveled back to where those relatives... after you find the location, you go back to wherever that is?
I haven't gone to foreign countries, but I did go down to Missouri and actually found the grave site and church where my great-great-grandparents lived. And I just found some information that he was actually a preacher in this little church. And I had my sister-in-law with me, and she said, well, why do you like doing this? And I said, it's just neat to see where they live, the ambience of the place, you know, what it was like.
Mm-hmm.
That was really exciting.
Yeah. And Danelle, you were nodding. You've visited.
Yeah. My daughter went with me. We went out to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and that's where my husband's family was before they came to Minnesota. They had moved this big old cemetery because the land was sinking in, and the sexton at the cemetery said, well, you'll never find them because it was such a huge cemetery. And we were driving around and just happened to look over my shoulder and I saw the name on the headstone. And the sexton was shocked that we found it because this person died in 1865. But it was still there and you could read it on the headstone. It was just incredible.
Very cool. Very cool.
I've been to Germany where my mother's, both her parents are German. And the relative that I went to visit hasn't been proven, but she took me to cemeteries in Germany, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Genealogy kind of an American thing, or are people all over the world really fascinated with it?
I think it's all over the world. I really do.
Yeah. You know, thanks for joining us today so much. And why don't we close with, again, kind of just reminding who you are, where you're from, and what those entities can provide for you.
Well, I'm Danelle Haspel, and I'm from Lake Agassiz Regional Library System at the Detroit Lakes Branch. And we have Ancestry Library Edition for you to use for free if you come into the library. We have Heritage Quest, which is another wonderful database that you can actually use from home with your library card. And both contain the census, so it's kind of a good place to start. We have several other databases. OYSTER is one of them, and Archive Grid. And if you go to our website, which is laurel.org, you'll be able to find a lot of our resources under the research button.
Great.
Okay, and I'm Leah Levy, and I'm the director at the Family History Center in Detroit Lakes here. And we're located at 204 Pelican River Road inside the LDS Church building. Come around to the back door, and we're open 12 to 3 on Wednesday and Thursday, plus if you call for an appointment, we can come in the evening if you need it. We have two film readers, we have a computer, and on it we have Family Search. We also have Ancestry.com and Heritage Quest, just as the library does. We also have a new thing that the church has put out, is called Family Tree, where if you don't have a way to put your research into any kind of database, it's a free database that you can use, and it's all online.
Great. I'm Virginia Weston, representing both Becker County Museum and Heart of Lakes Genealogical Society. Come in during normal business hours, Tuesday through Saturday from 10 till 4, and the museum holds things like birth, marriage, and death indexes, which will give you information on how to locate those records over in the courthouse. There's newspaper and land transfer indexes, as well as funeral home records, cemetery indexes, which are held by both the museum and Heart of Lakes, and they vary slightly between the two. There's township files, family files, census microfilm for Becker and Ottertail counties, naturalization microfilm that's held by Heart of Lakes, newspaper microfilm that's held by Becker County Historical Society, church directory, school directories, township histories, just a ton of information. So you're welcome to come into the library part of the museum and research to your heart content. You just look at the shelves and decide what you need to use.
And on that note, I think that something that has really been driven into me since I've been here the last few months and listening to all you gals is write those stories down, record them, and we all interpret life differently anyway, so write your version of the story down. And last week we received this great kind of memoir of Charles Johnston from his great-grandson, who had done a lot of research, and he has since yesterday, a big box arrived of all of his notes that he took over the course of time. And that's just, I mean, you can't even put a value on that. And then actually, ironically, yesterday afternoon, somebody came in looking for some information on some land at Long Lake. And lo and behold, we found it in the writings from this great-grandson. So you never know how those dots are going to connect.
No, don't.
So ladies, thank you so much for joining me. And, you know, thanks for all the work you do and the passion for genealogy in our region.
Thanks for inviting us.
Mm-hmm. Funding for this program has been made possible through a grant from the Legacy, Art, Culture, and Heritage Fund of Minnesota. To hear more, feel free to visit www.nijiradio.org. That's www.niijiradio.org.